This is our post-game show for Game 3 of the World Series, a game in which the Cubs lost 1-0, and we will share our thoughts on this game, and we'll play some listener voicemail at the end of the episode. If you're watching this live, we'd like to hear what you thought about the game. Our voicemail line is 309-517-0624. You can call that line anytime, and we will include your message in our next episode. Again, it's 309-517-0624. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I am joined by the other two hosts of this podcast.
Hey, it's Andy.
And Kurt.
Oh, man.
Okay, so general thoughts on the game. Kurt, do you want to get it out?
I don't. Like I said before, I don't want to record what I actually want to say, but that one was really frustrating to me. You guys don't seem as frustrated as me, and that's fine, but
I was frustrated until I saw you so frustrated.
They got game planned to death in that game. Tomlin comes out, executes perfectly. I don't want to say that. I mean, the Indians played their game. That's how you lose to the Indians. 1-0. You don't have any offense when the wind's blowing out. You don't do anything. And that's really frustrating. And again, we always throw in disclaimers about, yeah, I'm pissed off right now. I am pissed off right now, and but by no means do I think they're out of it. I'm not like doom and gloom. The Cubs aren't going to win the World Series. But right now, this game was incredibly frustrating.
Yeah.
How do they game plan? I mean, how should they have done things differently, I guess?
I think that's what's so frustrating, is that when you see a team like the Indians, who really don't have a stellar offense, you know, and Hendricks goes out there and pitches well, and a guy like Tomlin is as good as he's ever been. That's what's so frustrating, is that
right. He
comes out and dominates this offense. This offense should not be dominated by Tomlin. Because anybody who can throw a breaking ball for a strike when they need to can just tear this lineup apart. And I like Corey was saying at the beginning, like that's kind of true of any lineup. That's major league pitching. If you can throw a really good breaking ball, you're going to get a lot of guys out. And that's what they did. And that's what's watching that for 9 innings really starts to get to you.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it was a frustrating game. And, you know, the wind's blowing out, like you said, and they have Santana playing in left. I mean, it just seems like ideal conditions for them to really do some damage and, you know, get the Indians on the ropes. And they just were unable to do so. I mean, still at the same time, it's frustrating, it's irritating, and I'm trying to find the positives. And you know, I mean, they were down 2-1 in a series recently, you know, and they came back and won that series. Now it's a little bit different because they're about to face the ace again instead of I don't know who they face in the next game, Urias or something. For the Dodgers, I think that's who it was.
Yeah.
And so, it's a little bit different.
And it's but Kluber still, versus Blackie.
Right.
Okay, but still, think about they were shut down by Kershaw the first time they saw him. And, you know, the second time they saw him, they were able to get to him. So I'm kind of taking comfort in that a little bit. Is I think, you know, they've seen Kluber, they've seen Miller a lot now. Game 4 should go differently.
I hope so. I mean, again, looking forward, I'm fine. I mean, I by no means think they're out of this series, but man, I don't know. I mean,
well, my frustration, and I hesitate to admit this, but my frustration is more long term, as far as the series goes, than short term. I just think that with a win,
a little wrinkle.
Well, I just right. And I do kind of hate to admit it because I mean, let's be clear, we're fans and we experienced kind of the gamut of emotions, and I'm hoping with a level head I can try to get back to my, you know, positive self, which I take a lot of heat, actually all three of us do, on Twitter directed at us for being too positive. And I think we were, people were really frustrated after the game one loss, and we were like, you know, not that worried about it. I'm a little bit more worried right now, the deeper it gets into the series. And a lot of that is the fact that you're right. We don't get to face Urias, next game, or we don't get to face that caliber of pitcher. we have to face, not and we, the Cubs, obviously. The Cubs had to face Corey Kluber, and not only face Corey Kluber, but probably face Corey Kluber and Andrew Miller again, who like threw less than 20 pitches. Chances are he'll be out there again. And if the Cubs cannot win that game, then you have to win the final three. You have to win one at home, and you have to win two on the road.
Let's not forget Allen, like, you know, right. Kluber, Miller, Allen, and they've done nothing. Yeah, well, I shouldn't say nothing.
Yeah, I think they made Allen sweat tonight.
Yeah, I don't.
They made.
Yeah.
But I think, like, it was very, tonight was frustrating. I haven't lost faith in the team. I think they can beat Kluber. I think that the road just got a lot tougher, and part of me is honestly disappointed they're not going to win the World Series at Wrigley. However, I will take a World Series win in Cleveland. So, there's that.
But, I hope so.
Yeah.
I refuse to accept a victory in Cleveland.
But I will be flat honest. Like I think this made losing tonight made the series a lot more difficult. I think with a win tomorrow and beating Kluber, I think it's a whole new ball game again. And I really like the Cubs' chances at that point, because I think that, you know, that other, well, Kluber could go game seven, but he's going to be pitching on short rest tomorrow. And then again on, in game seven on, Wednesday, if it
yeah. And the more
far.
The Cubs see a guy, the more I love their chances.
Right.
So,
yeah, I just, you know, I really kind of felt with Tomlin that they needed to jump on him quickly. Like that is how, I think that's how you beat this Indians team, is you get on them quickly, because if you let them get into their groove and then you've got to face Andrew Miller, and you know, I mean, they were just
waiting for their one run or their chance at one run. And then,
yeah.
And, well, and you know, what did we see? We saw some hard contact all throughout the early innings.
Right. Right.
That was getting, you know, the balls were getting hit straight at Indians fielders. So the Cubs got a little unlucky as far as balls in play.
It was just crazy. Like, you know, honestly, like the wind was like howling out, and we did not see the wind affect a single baseball
a
tonight.
Single
well,
ball.
Except for the Soler one that was probably would have been a foul ball, but then
right.
got pushed back in. That was weird. That was a weird ball flight.
It was, yeah.
Other than that, as far as offensive,
but as far as distance,
it just didn't happen.
No, and that was really
frustrating. I think that's partly what's frustrating too. It's like it's slightly irrational, because I'm just sitting there waiting. Like even when they scored the run, I was still pretty. I was kind of okay. Like, hey, you got out of that with just one run.
Sure.
And what's his name runs into a tube land, and you feel kind of good. Like, all right, and then. You're just waiting. Somebody just run into something. Just find a mistake.
Right.
Get it in the air, and that ball is gone. It's either a tie game, or if somebody's on your head, or you win. And I think, again, I think a lot of my frustration comes from how well Indians pitching executed tonight. They
right.
just didn't make mistakes. The Cubs couldn't take advantage of anything. And, you know, I guess, that's baseball. I mean, tomorrow I'll be fine, but right now I'm just really agitated and irritated.
I hope I'm fine tomorrow. I was a lot more frustrated, Kurt. Once I saw how frustrated you were, for some reason that perked me up a little bit.
I was like, I could be that guy at least for this episode.
I
could be the one that people could get mad at for being too negative or too positive, or somebody's got to be that guy.
I don't think I said anything after in watching the game with my wife and daughter. I'm not sure I said really anything after the error that put Hayward on base. And as they lost, my wife was trying to reassure me by saying different things, and I didn't acknowledge any of them. I
walked away.
I went and poured my water and came downstairs to record.
Well, let's talk about an actual tangible negative, and the reappearance of old Javi, who will swing at anything way out of the zone, is a little frustrating. And I know this is a small sample size, and I don't want to discount what he's done before, but in the last couple of games,
Javi has
resurged.
He hasn't looked great in this series. I honestly don't think that his final at bat was terrible. I mean, I think he just chased something that was a little bit up in the zone, and it was going to be hard to catch up with it. But, yeah.
He's chasing. Yeah, I mean, you throw him a breaking ball in the dirt or a high fastball, you're going to get him out.
I don't know. And it seems like he laid off a couple.
Yeah, but I don't know. That could change, but I don't know.
I think I have a hard time singling him out when there were so many Cubs batters that looked pretty bad. And I mean, honestly, if we want to talk about people that are looking bad, and I'm looking past the fact that he got a base hit when it mattered tonight. I think Dexter Fowler's looked like crap. So far in this series, he's 2-for-13 with 5 strikeouts. And granted, like I said, he got a base hit tonight in the ninth, right? Ninth? Yeah. Yeah. He led off with a base hit, right?
Mm-hmm. In the eighth, he got the hit, didn't he? And then Rizzo led off in the ninth.
Right. Yeah. It was in the eighth with 2 outs in the eighth. He got a base hit. I don't have anything in front of me. Just going off memory. I just, you know, there's the whole you go, we go. And when he's hitting 2-for-13 with 5 strikeouts, I don't know. You need him to get on base.
Yeah, you can only overcome your leadoff hitter not doing anything for so long.
With an OPS of 308 on the series, that's not getting it done.
Yeah, and I think you said this, Corey, but I think going forward, they need to do something early. Mm-hmm. Take the pressure off early. I mean, Kyle battled. He didn't have as good of stuff as last time, but he pitched really well. And he kept the Indians off the board they've got to do some damage early, or at least threaten early.
Yeah, you know, I think
put
it's
some pressure on the opposing pitcher.
Right.
Well, I mean, how about last, you know, the Dodgers series, game 3, they lost 6-0, and then they came back and won 10-2 in game 4.
Right.
I mean, we've seen it before. It could happen again that the lights was, you know, the lights was just, yeah, it pops on for the team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And I hope it does. I think this one just, I don't want to dwell on negative, but I think this one's so frustrating because I went into it with such big, I thought if they win it, they win like 7-5.
Right. I thought this
would be a wild, huge run scoring game. And then to see it be a pitching match, you know, pitching battle that the Indians win, that I wasn't expecting. It caught me off guard, and then it really frustrated me.
It defied all my expectations, too. I hear you.
So I hope tomorrow, I think that they've shown us, and I don't want to discount that they've shown us they can forget about yesterday and come back tomorrow and just
right
over and
maybe
over
tomorrow
and over.
They'll yeah. And so yeah, I think they can do it, but I don't know. We're recording this very, very shortly after they lost. And
right.
So that's what you're hearing now. You know, I don't know. Accuse me of whatever you want. I don't care. But, you know, right now I'm.
No, I think it's justified. Kind of I don't feel bad.
I think you're the voice of a lot of fans right now. I don't think that's bad.
Right.
I think a lot of people feel that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cubes
fan can.
No, you know what, though? That's what, you know what? Don't feel. Here's what it is.
It's not even Cubes fan.
No, it is the fact that the season ends one way or the other in the next 5 or 6 mm-hmm. days. I mean, it's the fact that, like, there's no, like, at this point, there is no long-term, like, well, they're doing this right, and this will come around. There's no time for that now. They have to do everything. They have, like, it's all about winning. And I kind of, you know, we talked in our text conversation about how I was surprised at how low their BABIP is in this game, and it has been like that in other games, and it's like, but it doesn't matter because those things aren't going to even out over the next 3 days, really. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's like
no regression.
No, I mean it's more of just like, well, that's really I'm frustrated by it. Oh, this is what is frustrating me, you know. And and oddly, I would like to watch this game again. Even though I think it would be the extreme torture, man. But something
sounds like a nightmare.
At least you know it's coming.
Well,
here's
what's kind of odd to me, and perhaps I'm way off base, but it seemed like, I would say through 5 innings, maybe 6 innings, the Cubs had only struck out like 1 or 2 times.
Yeah, it was only one. Kyle had like 4 or 5, and Tomlin only had 1.
Right, and they ended the game with 8 strikeouts.
Yeah,
and I was like
Miller.
Yeah.
Miller had 3.
Yeah.
Shaw had 1. Allen had 3.
Yeah. And it was like, I would be interested to go back and look to see. I mean, with Miller, yeah, it's the pitcher. I would be interested to go back and kind of see if the Cubs' approach at the plate changed at that point, or if it was just the pitching. But that was that was frustrating. How many times can we say frustrating tonight?
Yeah, I know. Well, and kind of touching on what you were saying, Corey, like the long-term outlook is – so now tomorrow you've got Kluber versus Lackey. And again, I think they can get to Kluber. I hope they do. But certainly on paper, it doesn't look super positive because all Kluber's got to do is get the ball to Miller.
Right.
And they, you know.
Right. So and having Miller really puts them in an advantage where – what the Cubs have been able to do to other teams, you know, even in the regular season or the playoffs, is if they could get the starter out after like 4 or 5, then they kind of can open up on the bullpen. And that, like, really, it's almost like getting a second wind from an even better starter.
Yeah, it's like an extension of the starter. Yeah, if your starter can go 4 and a third or 4 2/3, whatever. Yeah, and then Miller can come in and go 2. You've all of a sudden got a pretty good start.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think every pitcher, I mean, Miller can't do this forever. I'm going to flip the coin. I'm going to try to be positive. Miller cannot dominate forever. Maybe he continues to dominate for the World Series, but at some point he's going to crack, and I hope it's
halfway through the season next year he will.
Yeah, exactly. Well, in July of next year he's going to crack, but hope it's in the next couple of
days. So he hasn't given up an earned run with the Indians, is that right? I think that's what I heard. But I think he was the one to give up the runs in the World Series, right? I mean, in the All-Star game, not the World Series. Fudge.
I didn't watch the All-Star game.
Oh, okay. Well, I watched it because I was super interested and there's so much on the line. Anyway, I think they've gotten some hits off of him. They've caused him to sweat a little bit. I think they can break through against him as well as Kluber.
Yeah. I just hope they can hit a breaking ball at some point.
Right.
Or somebody makes a mistake with a breaking ball and they get it.
Yeah,
I'm looking up Andrew Miller stats now because you have me curious.
Yeah.
Well, I know that he set didn't he set a playoff record tonight for the most innings in a row in the playoffs without a, he gave up 5 earned runs, in 26 games for Indians? Cleveland. Yeah.
Okay.
In like half a season.
Two walks, 46 strikeouts, which is funny because didn't the Cubs get better. The Cubs got a couple walks off of him in game two, but or maybe it was game one. I don't remember. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Oh, gosh. I have notes here that I just don't even want to talk about.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, looking towards tomorrow isn't going to.
You know, in a way,
I feel a whole lot better.
No, and in a way, I kind of feel like the Cubs dodged a lot of bullets tonight too. Grimm got the Cubs out of a really tight spot. But it was just like they couldn't avoid it in the seventh. And there's that base hit. And honestly, I have to wonder, like, does Jason Hayward get to that base hit? And I know that when the ball hits the ground, Soler was a distance away. And I'm not blaming Soler because I don't think his legs are right. And he's not particularly fast anyway, but I think Hayward maybe gets a better break on the ball, and I wonder if Hayward doesn't get to that ball.
Yeah, my initial thought was there's no way that anyone gets to it, but then I saw the replay, and it had me second guessing. I think you texted something along those lines.
Yeah,
and so like when I saw it again, I kind of thought, well, maybe somebody else would have gotten to that.
Yeah, I bet Almora would have.
Still, though, I mean, people are taking Soler to task for hitting that ball that our buddy Lonald didn't catch, and then he was kind of loafing out of the box there. There's no way he would have hit it. He would have had an inside the parker there busting it out of the box.
I'll take a different approach and say nobody busted out of the box on that ball, which and 99% of the time is a foul ball.
It's probably mm-hmm. 10 or 15 rows back.
Yes. However, I don't know. I haven't watched it again, but it was a stand up. It was a stand up on third.
Right.
He at least could have forced an awkward throw. Then maybe he scores.
I don't know.
Yeah, but that's what it would have taken, though. Yeah. That's what it would have taken is a bad throw home for him to score. So in that situation, you'd rather have him.
And I think there's a big difference between if you want to take a player to task on admiring a hit and then a player like Soler that just kind of hesitated, thinking the ball was out of play. And then once he realized it was in play, he took off and ended up on third.
That's a good distinction. That's a good distinction. I mean, that's super different than a ball that bounces off the wall that you admire.
Yeah.
You know, off the outfield wall, I mean.
Yeah. Kind of going back to that seventh inning, though, when they did score, when the Indians scored, Javi really saved that inning by backing up Rizzo. And that was like... Mm-hmm. Even though I think that would probably fly under the radar, I was really impressed with that play.
It looked like it could have easily been overturned too.
Yeah, it was.
On the replay.
Yeah. And then there was the play. What was the other play?
There was the tag at third with Bryant tagging.
I was thinking Javi had another. When he threw over to Hendricks. Yeah. He threw over to Hendricks, and it was like, and they almost got somebody. Anyway. Never mind.
But you know what the great thing is? It would all be totally, we wouldn't talk about any of this if they just scored two runs. You know? If like,
right. Well, man.
Giving up one run and whatever, if Hayward makes the catch, any of that. Like, if you just got any kind of offense
I really didn't feel like matters. I didn't really feel like the Cubs had, I mean, other than with Soler standing on third and then pinch, you know, and then they had Hayward pinch run for him, other than that, it wasn't really until the ninth that they had a legitimate scoring opportunity, really. I mean, it was going to come down to a home run. It felt like it just they weren't stringing stuff together, and I don't know, but can I take a second to talk about Lonald?
He's pretty bad.
Do you want to interview him?
I love it. I mean, my prediction for the series and for each game is a Lonnie Chisenhall mistake. And I don't think we've talked about it on the podcast, but who was it? Hold on, I'll think of it. Casey from Wisconsin. I think it was Casey. He pointed out to me that Lonnie's given name is Lonald.
I have a question, though.
It's two games in a row that Lonnie's made a mistake out there.
I've never looked up Lonald's stats, but do you predict this because you know Lonald is a terrible defender, or you just thought a guy named Lonald is going to blow it?
At the time, I didn't even know his name was Lonald, which would have made me even more sure of my prediction. I just saw... As the Cubs go into this series, I looked at their roster and saw Lonnie Chisenhall, and I was like, oh, my God.
Guys, let me lay this to rest, okay? I was driving to the ballpark in my PT Cruiser, and I rent a PT Cruiser when I'm at a away ballpark just so it feels like home. And my mom gave me a call on the old Bluetooth, and she said, you know, Lonald? And I said, Mom, it's Lonnie. She said, Lonald? Make sure you eat a power bar before the game. That way you can make all the plays in the field. And I didn't. I ignored her advice, and I think that's why I missed that ball in right field. So I regret it. I don't intend to make that mistake again. I'm going to put a few power bars in the glove box of the PT Cruiser, and it's not going to happen again.
Keep going. This is more fun than talking about this game.
Oh, guys, I gotta go celebrate this win.
The PT is double parked.
I loved him falling in the field in game three, though. Or game two. No, game three, sorry. Wait a minute. Game two. Sorry. This week has been a blur for me. You go to Effingham, I'm Effingham, and it's just like Effingham will really mess your week up.
You know what's going to make us feel really, really good is if the Cubs pull a Dodgers game four series, you know, Dodgers series game four esque game tomorrow night where the offense comes out swinging. We're all hanging out together.
Right.
At a grocery store. Right. And the Cubs get back on track and tie this thing 2-2.
Yeah. Tomorrow's a definite turning point.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, Andy, since you brought it up, if you're listening to this, you're, you know, within a decent drive from us, if you're not too far away from the Quad Cities, we're doing a game watch back down at Hy-Vee again, the Market Grill in Hy-Vee. We were there for the NLCS game five and the night that they clinched and punched their ticket to the World Series. And we had a lot of fun down there, and it looks like another group about the same size is going to be down there again, maybe even a few more people. So come join us. Kurt, you're going to be there this time too. So
I will make an appearance. Hopefully it goes well so you don't have to see angry Kurt.
just go get some
I'm less angry in public, so
just go get some Hot Pockets and
yeah. I know, 12 pack of toilet paper.
Yep. Yeah. I have a hard time being too upset in a Hy-Vee.
Right. I'm going to go anger.
There's so many good deals.
I'm going to go anger shop.
Beef.
But yeah, so we'll be down there, you know, 6:30 somewhere in there. And, we'd love to watch game, four with you, man. I keep forgetting like what game we're on, game four. So, come down. If you want more information on it, you can email me Corey, Corey at IVMV.com. Man, I honestly just don't have that much to say. Other than, oh, you know what? But while we're kind of in between things here, Bob from Moline, he actually was able to get tickets today, strangely, at the last minute. Like, his dad got an email yesterday that he was selected. And so Bob, got tickets at face value and got standing room only and was able to go to the game. And, so he was driving. He didn't really find out until today that he was going to be able to go. So he was on his way up there and I was trying to help him figure out like where to park and everything, because, you know, with all the people up there, they've talked about how they've shut down parking and everything. And, I found a place on a spot on ParkWiz for, I think it was $28. That was maybe, dang. Yeah. And it was like not that far, actually not that far from like Danny's place. So what, maybe a 20-minute walk or something. So, I mean, if you're going up there, either to go to the game or to hang out in Wrigleyville or whatever, like check out ParkWiz, because it's, you can find spots on there. And I found some other ones that were like in the 40s. So not too bad at all. And so, we have a ParkWiz widget on the right side of our page. And so you can find a spot there, but I was really surprised that, parking was that affordable. Anything else you guys want to talk about?
Daffy Duck.
I was going to say, other than Bill Murray, I don't really have much else to say.
I don't want to go into it because it's, you know, it's so meaningless. I don't care.
Well, but let me say this. I do want to say one thing about that is it's easy to hate on it, but at the same time, I think it could have kind of loosened up the crowd a little bit, and I think the crowd kind of needed that. I think the crowd was kind of tame tonight, just in general, which is maybe more of an interesting and pertinent topic than Bill Murray doing Daffy Duck.
It's hard for us to say, though. You know, I mean, we're not there. Crowd mic levels vary greatly. In fact, to show that that's true, I didn't listen to Joe Buck. I was listening to Pat and Ron, and I flipped over to the Indians broadcast just for a second, and you could barely hear the crowd at all. And so it just kind of got me thinking, like, you know, I wonder, like, sometimes, I don't know, like, I mean, granted, watching TV, you could tell when people are standing and cheering and when they're not and everything, but it's hard to say. It's hard for us to say really what.
Well, here's some late breaking news, which from Chase on the Facebook group, who I believe Chase was there. he didn't say specifically, but Chase's quote on the Facebook group is, the crowd was out of it because the average age of people in attendance was 80.
Right, because it's people that can afford $3,000 for a ticket.
That is a little, yeah. Like, the people that are there, it's like, this is the first time I've ever been to Wrigley.
Yeah. Okay, well, maybe Bob is watching live right now because he just texted me on what we're talking about. So it's either incredible timing or he's watching live. So he said, from the second inning on, it was just tense. People were really quiet with explosions here and there. And then when a big strikeout happened or a double play, there's no reason to be shut out. A lot of overswinging, but the World Series is in Wrigley, so you can't complain. Hopefully this wasn't just like a personal text. Shared
plus, you don't want to be too hard on the people that were there, because if I was there too, I mean, what was there to be excited about? You know,
right?
You're just
exactly
be the idiot who's standing there yelling by yourself.
Exactly,
and annoying. Yeah, like, that guy's drunk. You know, so I don't know.
I don't know, man. What's wrong with you people? Why are you so catatonic? I mean, why aren't you?
But you know,
I'm the normal one. If I'm yelling and going crazy,
but don't
what's
you,
your problem?
But don't you feel like after the, you know, when Chapman came out in the ninth, struck everybody out, and then it came to the bottom of the ninth? I mean, it seemed at that point that the crowd was into it. It wasn't like here we go again. Oh, I didn't, you know, it seemed like at that point that the crowd was into it. I can't really blame the crowd for not being into it when no one gets in scoring position, you know, except for one guy, I think. I don't remember.
The ninth inning, they had second and third with two outs.
Right. But I mean, Soler was on in scoring position. They just didn't have much going on. And so I can't really. You're right. It's hard to like. It's hard to get 42,000 people to collectively be loud and everything when there's really no reason to be. And it felt to me like even like when there was no outs or one out, when the Cubs were on defense when there got to be two strikes, the crowd was standing up and cheering and everything. So that kind of told me that like the crowd was ready to be energetic and loud and everything, but the Cubs really just didn't give them reason to be. But I think there's also something to the fact that, and I'll tell you what, like as a Notre Dame fan, there's a lot of criticism within like Notre Dame fandom that it is not an intimidating place to go play for opposing teams. And that's because you have a bunch of really old, really rich people that don't want anybody to stand up and block their view or be loud around them. And maybe there was a bit of that at Wrigley tonight. I don't know.
Can we go one episode without bringing up Notre Dame? I'm just kidding. Like you never do. <It's> like,
well, to show you how wrapped up I am.
Probably the same people that were there tonight were basically all of Notre Dame Stadium just transplanted into.
It's possible.
Into Wrigley Field for the night wearing sweater vests.
But yeah, exactly, that is the Notre Dame old person crowd. I don't blame the crowd there. I don't think the Cubs gave them much to work with. So that's where I stand on it.
Indeed.
But at the same time, like, I don't understand why. Like, let's see, how should I do the seventh inning stretch? I think I'm going to do a Daffy Duck impersonation. But like, I don't.
Not choice.
That's just, you know, that's just Bill Murray.
Why not say what he said? Like, say, like, okay, sing it like Daffy, but then just like sing it normal. I mean, like, and then the people can do the Daffy if they want to, you know?
Or just do the Daffy impression without mentioning Daffy Duck. I think that would be more funny. You know? That'd be funnier. Like if he just starts like spitting and like doing that stuff out of the blue for no reason.
Well, because people are like, "Oh, what the heck is this? I don't know. Exactly. I mean, I don't understand what this affectation is."
As soon as he said Daffy Duck, I was like, "Oh God, this is going to be a train wreck. Why did he just bring? Like, has Daffy Duck ever been brought up for the seventh inning? Like."
But train wreck or not, after you come out of that as a fan in the crowd, I mean, it's like, I'm listened up now. I'm ready to cheer for the team.
I didn't like it until my 4-year-old actually laughed out loud, like actually was just giggling. And then I was like, oh, that's pretty funny. So,
see, I think if I was in the crowd, it'd be pure confusion. Like, what? And especially like, I think, you know, I kind of joked about it on Twitter, like, great, now we're going to hear about the Daffy Duck curse, you know, because there's the whole, like, Bernie Mac in the seventh inning stretch of game six of in 2003 NLCS said, you know, root for the champions. And so everybody acts like, oh, that's a curse. Yeah. So now we're going to have to hear about the Daffy Duck curse.
Of course, whatever.
I don't know. I just thought it was very bizarre, and it didn't loosen me up. It just made me confused and mainly confused. Well, should we end it on Daffy Duck?
Yeah, probably. I think that's all, folks. I think that's all, folks.
Well, yeah. So if you're in the area, come down and join us. We won't be doing a post-game show tomorrow night. We probably will after game five, because that's Sunday night when we usually record. So we'll be back Sunday night to talk about game four and game five. But again, if you're in the area, come hang out with us. You know, win or lose, we're going to have a good time. And hopefully we can have the same experience. Obviously, we won't be popping champagne bottles like we did last time. But hopefully a good celebration, and it should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to watching a game with you guys because we don't get to do it very often. So,
I can say mean things to you in person instead of via text.
It's going to be fun. All right. Well, this episode, like every one of our episodes, is brought to you by all of our Patreon supporters. We've had a lot of people jump on Patreon lately, and we can't tell you how much we appreciate it. I don't have the list pulled up in front, but I will thank all of the new Patreon people individually. But we do appreciate a lot. It helps us pay for everything to put this podcast out. And with all these extra episodes we've done this month, it's paid for our extra bandwidth and hosting, and paid for our IVMV free iOS and Android app, and just everything. And so we really appreciate it. Oh, by the way, we are on iHeartRadio now too. So if you use iHeartRadio, you can listen to IVMV on there. So thank you for listening. Oh, and if you would like to jump on the Patreon campaign, you can go to patreon.com/IVMV. That's patreon.com/IVMV. There's perks at every level, stickers, posters, pint glasses. I'm still shipping all those things out. And we also have t-shirts. So if you like what we do and you want to help support the show, you can buy a t-shirt. It's cheap. They're $15. And
let's win this series, Cubs.
Yeah,
let's do it.
Yeah. Let's start with a game four win. That's where things start. And stringing hits together, getting on base. Just do what you do, Cubs. That's what we want to watch. All right, so until Sunday night, go Cubs.
Hey, guys, this is Larry from Jensen Beach, Florida, originally from Elmhurst, Illinois. Anyway, huge Cubs fan, love the show, just found it in the postseason, so I'm going to be a subscriber here, and look forward to hearing what you guys have to say throughout the season. As far as your game one post-game podcast, it was enjoyable. You actually calmed me down and talked me off the ledge a little bit. I was extremely disappointed in the outcome, I should say, not in how we played. Anyway, cracked me up when you guys talked about the jackhole or jackbag or whatever you called him with the signs in the front row. I really enjoyed his jazz hands and his little disco shuffle going on in the background. Just want to let you guys know that I really enjoyed the show, and look forward to hearing everything you guys have to say in the future. Go Cubs!
Hey boys, it's Jack from Chicago, the South Side actually, and it's a rainy day here in Chicago after the Cubs lost in game one. Calling you guys before game two. Just to elaborate, you know, seeing a lot on Twitter, a lot of people freaking out already, blaming the umps about the strike zone. I gotta call BS on that. I mean, there's still a lot of positives to take away from last night's game. Andrew Miller looks human. He's gonna be pitching a lot. I think he threw the most pitches he threw in the playoffs last night. So that means he's gonna be kinda tired tomorrow, I like to think. Schwarber is looking great. Almost had that one home run, turned out to be the double. Still, just keep on believing, everyone, because they're going to do this. I know, I like to say I know they're going to do this. I just have so much faith in this team. This team didn't win 103 games by just showing up. So, game two, Arrieta on the mound. I like to think that he's going to be 2015, Jake. We'll see. I just think the Cubs really have the edge in game two. I think pitching-wise and offensively, you know, the Indians threw the best they have at us last night, and tonight it's going to be an easier road for the Cubs. Hopefully they can score 3 to 4 runs before the fifth, because I don't think any Indians pitcher besides Kluber is going to make it to the fifth. And once Miller gets in the game, maybe you can score a run or two on him or rack up a couple hits and shake him up a little, prove that he's human. So that's all I got for you guys, other than there's no reason for Hayward or Mickey or Cogs to be starting in this lineup on this team. But go Cubs. Let's bring home this championship, because I think everyone's a little tired of waiting. But, yeah, go Cubbies.
Hey, Ivy Envy fellas. This is Jeff calling from New Jersey. Big Met fan, on board with the Cubs this season. Huge fan of Joe Maddon and the whole team. One thing I wanted to say about Game 1 of the World Series, I watched the entire game. It's thrilling, obviously a little bit of disappointing as a guy rooting for the Cubs. One thing I'd like to say, when I heard you guys talking about the pitching calls and the angle of the camera on TV, you know, of course I feel those same things too when I watch. One thing I think it's important to remember is that we're just watching. Those guys are out there playing. Joe Maddon says it himself. There's nothing he can do. But we got to root for him. We're going to hang in there. I think they did very well in a lot of ways. I think Lester was wonderful. You got to give it up to Schwarber. So, go Cubs. Looking forward to staying in there with you guys, hearing your perspectives, and thank you for doing what you do.
Hey, guys. This is Mark from Grand Rapids. Love the show. Absolutely. Really appreciate everything you guys do. It's absolutely appreciated from every single one of us. This is actually a shout out. I wanted to see if there were any other Cubs fans in the Grand Rapids, Michigan area. I saw, or I heard John from Grand Rapids call in on the last show, and frantically was trying to find him on Facebook. Don't know if that's creepy, but I'd love to be able to watch some of the games with some fellow Grand Rapids, Michigan folks. If you want, you can feel free to get a hold of me at my email, technerd.mark@gmail.com. That's Mark with a K. Thank you very much. Really appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Fellas, Lonnie Chivenhall calling in. I think that you was talking about me on the last episode, maybe even doing a little bit of speculating about my ride, but calling to let you know y'all was barking up the wrong tree with that. I'm actually in the driver's seat of an 87 Camaro, primer gray for now, but it's actually a pretty kick-ass piece of machinery. Thanks for asking. But that ain't the reason I'm calling. I was calling to gather a little intel here, see if I might find out if there's a vape store within walking distance of Wrigley that stocks Mountain Dew flavored e-juice for me. So if anybody out there knows the answer to that, you can get back to me on Twitter at BigLawn8. Appreciate you, and make America great again. Whew.
Hi, it's Steve from Plainfield. I'm watching game two, and Anthony Rizzo just scored from first base on a double by Ben Zobrist because some guy named Lonnie Chisenhall in right field, who sounds like he should be an extra in a Gene Autry movie, fell down, allowing Rizzo to scamper home. Go Cubs!
Hey, this is Aaron from Peoria. I think the Cubs are going to do it here at Wrigley. I think they're going to take these three games. I think after we beat them by about 4 runs each game, we're going to wonder how the Indians even snuck into the playoffs. I'm just looking for a big game from Zobrist, Russell, and Baez, really really adding in there, making some spectacular plays, and just excited for us to win at Wrigley. But I'll take a win on the road too. But hopefully we'll do it in three and won't have to leave Chicago. Go Cubs!
What's up, guys? This is Justin in Iowa, a.k.a. Filthy Slob on Twitter. I'm just leaving the Duffy's Tavern here, getting ready for the top of the eighth in the World Series. Going to listen to Pat and Ron the rest of the way to the in-laws. Hopefully there's a turning point. Duffy's was exciting. There was a whole six people there. Got to hear the come on, Riz cheer, and got called kids when my wife and I left, even though we're both in our mid-30s. So that was nice. I actually like Duffy's. It's a pretty cool little establishment, so I'll have to frequent that next season. All right, go Cubs.
Hey, guys, it's Stuart in St. Louis. I really wish we had won that game, especially after knocking out Tomlin so early. And it just seems like this offense really can struggle at times against good pitching, like many offenses do. But it seems like we just missed out on a lot of opportunities there. And I hope it doesn't end up hurting us. But, I mean, in the long run, we're down 2-1, but we've still got 2 games left at Wrigley. So it would be the same as if we lost our first 2 games in Cleveland and just won game 3. I mean, the effect is still the same. Can the Cubs win 3 games in a row against the Indians? I think so. And still win 3 more in 4 games or whatever it is? Yeah. So they just have to do it. The bats seem to need to get hot again, but, you know, they did the same stunt in the Dodgers series where they would cool off randomly and then all of a sudden come roaring back. So hopefully we can do well, and I hope Kluber doesn't pitch as well as he does in game 1 because he was outstanding. Go Cubs!
This is Ed from San Francisco standing on an L platform after game 3. Very, very disappointing loss. Really, really fun to be in the ballpark surrounded by great people in the left field bleachers. But if you can't score any runs when the wind is blowing out that much and you're not facing Kluber, you got to start wondering. A lot of fun, and I still think we can do it, but it's going to take a while. We got to win. So I am looking forward to Saturday. I'm looking forward to hanging out with IVNB folks. And I'm optimistic, but boy, do I wish we had capitalized today.
Hi, this is Artie Boucher from Denver, Colorado. First of all, let me apologize for my voice as I have a little bit of a cold. That just comes with October. Anyways, the only thing I really have to say is I'm not really too disappointed about the loss. This is what World Series baseball should be. It should be these close, exciting games. After all, should be the two best teams to play each other in the World Series every year. The only thing I really have to critique may be that on offense, they may have just been a little too much of the nerves and maybe too a little aggressive when it came to swinging instead of letting the ball come to them and playing their game. So, anyways, like I said, there's plenty more baseball to play and win. Go Cubs!
She was talking about something being in the garage, and she goes, is it in the chicken garage or the kitten garage?
One of your garages is for cats, and the other one's for chickens. You even park your cars in there?
No, the worms and the kittens share
the
garage.
Worm garage. He has a worm.
The worm just
that's the
shed.
That's the yeah. Shed. Girls, get off the shed. They're like always playing on the worm garage.
Need the shed. Get off of it. Oh man.